Hi, this is Russ. We're into Satanism 101, the course. We are now on session number 7, dealing with satanic dabblers. How you doing? We pray that God's grace and might and strength will just bless you and guide you and lead you. And obviously by this time, some of the questions are, you're in session 7, you've listened to a number of hours, you've gotten into this course, and literally, I see it as a divine appointment that God has gathered you here. Regardless of your background, but God's giving you information, and a lot of resources are coming to you to where I think you can begin to understand their world. If you're wanting to reach out to New Agers, anybody that's into, again, alternative spirituality, and here's one of those areas. What this will help you also do is to and again, Wiccans and pagans and Satanists and the different varieties of each. If you understand them and their differences, what I've noticed over the years, even when I've done in police academies when I was doing training, and I clearly mentioned the differences between paganism, Satanism, Wiccan, and the different styles among all those, as I was doing a training on cult crime, well, one of the officers came to me later to identify himself as a pagan, and he was thankful that I didn't clump them together with all the Satanists. And that opened wide the door for me to witness to him and ask him questions and share with him. So I think, again, if you was to see on somebody a pentacle, which would be Wiccan oriented or even pagan, a star, and you would ask them about that and mention it's a pentacle and what are they into, and begin to ask them questions respectfully about what they're into, you're gonna learn a lot about them. And maybe by the Spirit of God's guidance, you will ask questions that again kind of backs them into a corner as you get ready to share the gospel and see the Spirit of God operate in their lives to bring them to Christ. Now, when you see somebody with an inverted pentagram, the 5-pointed star and the star is down, it's a pentagram, and Satanists use that. And so I think again that knowing materials, knowing and understanding in order to reach out is very good in order to warn younger ones what to stay away from. And so some of the books that we've also on the web page that these two sessions have come on, The Seduction of Our Children was a very good book. Fear No Evil was also another very good book. Now those again are helpful to believers, or the one called The Edge of Evil, an older book. All those are very good in helping believers, and obviously in this day, we need to be concerned about the seduction of our children. Now, the other books mentioned, Satan Wants You, was a very popular book when Arthur Lyons did this book, Satan Wants You, and that's going to give a broader picture that may even touch more on the self-styled and different movements and different groups that created, a lot of, more harm. The Heart of Darkness and Painted Black will also give you those broader pictures. You also have a video from YouTube. Now, you can go to YouTube and see Anton LaVey, all kinds of Satanists doing, if you want to learn and watch them and listen to them and see the differences, you can do that. When we had the Aleister Crowley teaching, the 1 hour or 2 hours on that even possibly, we will put a number of those videos, which are going to be hard to watch, but again, you're doing research. Because you're going to, be studying one of the most famous, one of the most powerful, one of the most influential occultists, Satanists, Luciferians. He was really mastering all the different angles. You're going to be, seeing a lot. And again, reaching out and evangelizing in this world, you're going to meet individuals that are into his books and his materials. So I want to encourage you again to stay in the Word. Remember again, a key chapter throughout all this is the Philip factor in Acts chapter 8 and what he did to go in there, where there was really a sorcerer that was influencing the town. And without the intervention, and obviously when the intervention occurred, people got saved, people got healed. And demons and demonic powers were exposed and expelled clearly, which was a demonstration. Now, in that chapter, he says he's the great power, And when a sorcerer, a priest, satanic priest, when they do get demon powers, when they get supernatural powers operating in them, it is massive. They have nothing to compare it to until an encounter occurs. And I can only tell you out of many different deliverances we did where individuals that had powers, even some that fought us over the issue, when the demonic power demon was manifested and we commanded it to come out, it's, they even saw that the demons came under the authority of Christ, the power of God was superior, and the demons had to acknowledge that Jesus was Lord, and they screamed and screeched and were terrified and went out. And that normally caused lost individuals to instantly want to get saved. In most cases, that occurs. And so, again, deliverance can be clearly, it is clearly an evangelistic open door, and most of those who get delivered get saved, which is very, very good. So, anyway, on page 17, we're going to take a look at satanic dabblers. We're going to get an inscription. And I first of all put down the word kids under A. Kids, fastest growing subgroup among white middle class kids in the 90s. Now, you're going to see at the bottom of the page that nowadays, the fastest growing subgroup in the early 2000s was white middle class girls in Wicca. Looking for spirituality, looking for power, looking for something again to belong to. Well, under the dabbler issue, it's primarily kids. And you have, and gosh, I can remember dealing with groups like Satan's Warriors and different groups that would be named, again, self-styled in some sense, but they're kids, they're dabblers. I mean, they might go out and get a hold of a book like The ABCs of Witchcraft and use it. Or maybe get a hold of Anton LaVey's book, The Satanic Bible, and use some of the Enochian chants and rituals in their own format to do it against other kids. I remember coming after a Youth for Christ meeting and meeting some of the kids for pizza, that some of the girls come running up, just terrified, and one of the kids had sent her this curse with a satanic emblem on it and all this other stuff, and was literally sending her a curse. So we took it right then and prayed over it. We burnt the paper that it was on, and we rebuked any powers with it and just kind of cleared the air. And we prayed for the individual that did it. Another time when a family was going under a lot of getting phone calls and these weird chants they said was on the telephone and curses. Well, here's the young girl was pregnant out of wedlock by a boy that the mother wouldn't allow to come over anymore. Now, the boy got pieces of stuff, satanic stuff, and began to use it to curse, even cursing that the baby would die. So once again, you're going to find out that there are dabblers that can be dangerous, and the powers, as we've already said, the demonic powers are real. If they really conjure the powers, they can be moved themselves to do harm, or they can unleash demonic presence to do harm too if they're doing the right things. Now, I'll tell you another story about a young man up in the Kent State area. Every Halloween, they have this great big thing out on the streets. 4,000 or 5,000 people come out, more than that sometimes, dressed in Halloween costumes. Well, there's a great church up there, a little church, and they do a ministry and the Rock Cafe and so forth, and they have a ministry, and we've gone up to kind of join them a little bit, and we've done evangelism up there many years in the midst of the crowds to share Christ. Well, one of the times I was up there, I was going through the crowds, and somebody called my name and called me over, and they said, "You don't remember me, but a few years back, you guys were out here on the streets witnessing, and one of your guys encountered me." He says, "And I was one of these guys and dressed up and drinking and partying. And I was into Satanism and different things, and I felt so convicted, so bad." And he says, I at one time I thought I gave my life to Christ, but I was so backslidden." He said that was the encounter that really turned him around. And that night that I was there, he was out witnessing and sharing Christ. Well, he had me come back a few months later, and he shared his testimony about, some satanic practices and things that were, experiences that he had, and wanted us to pray through with him to make sure there's no more demonic things. See, there's a lot through the 60s and 70s that dabbled into satanic stuff. Listen, this is a very incredible story when I tell you about my wife and I were looking to buy a house, and we were looking at this one house, and a Coldwell banker was showing us the house, and he was asking me what I did, and I shared some stuff, and he says, "That's really bizarre," he says, because, and here's a guy that is very well off and probably in his early 30s, but he told me the story of being in, among all the social class that he was involved with and drinking. He was invited to come to a very wealthy home where, when he was brought into a room where they are drinking and things, they literally had robes on and they were doing some level of a satanic ritual and wanted him to join them. And he said he got so scared, he remembers going to a Catholic priest and talking to him about it. Well, my question was whether or not any demonic, whether he participated, said anything, whether, he needed to do more. A lot of people who've come out of satanic stuff or got involved with spirits in some way, they don't realize that, even when they came to Jesus, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, "Lord, I want to renounce any of the doors I've opened in the past." And I just put out on the other Preemption broadcast page, and it's also on the Dynamic Discipleship series. It's how to get free from dark spirits. And I think it's a good matter of fact, I think I'll add it into this course and just link it, and you'll be able to have that to use as you study too. Well, we're going to go over some more of the dabbler issue because that's really, again, how individual young people start and can end up getting involved in crime. That's why we mentioned here the kind of satanic misdemeanors. Well, let's first mention Satan's rebels. Many of the kids are rebelling and angry, and there's a real sense of rebellion. So if they do form a group like the one we dealt with called Satan's Warriors, where it's a few of them gathering together and doing some stuff, they're not highly organized. They don't wield a lot of money, but they definitely want to, raise havoc and do something to cause trouble. Now, there was in Akron a church where part of the initiation to get into the group, the dabbler group, was that they had to desecrate a church. And we found this material online and some of the old satanic literature we had in the cult crime, in the police academy courses, literal pages where if you're going to join the group, one of the activities is you have to break into a church and desecrate it, urinate, put blood things, symbols, satanic symbols. So this Presbyterian church, they had black, upside down crosses painted in on the inside of the sanctuary, and all kinds of things were done. Now again, these are kids wanting to gain rank among the little group, and they're dabblers. They don't know anything sophisticated. They don't know, how to do a black mass. And I don't believe normally they don't know how to conjure powerful, powerful demons, and they don't know how to do things in precision. But obviously, what they were involved with, and what they did at that church, well, it was estimated $40,000 in damage, $40,000, and that there is no misdemeanor. Well, there's satanic parties also, where kids will get invited to go, and usually there's adult recruiters behind those kind of things. So if teenage kids get invited to go to some kind of group, we had a young guy that was into skinheads, and he was taken down to the Columbus, Ohio area, and there he talks about a blood sacrifice that was done that he was drawn into, and very secretive, and part of the whole issue was that he was to be drawn into it and recruited. There are young people at school that may be given an invitation to come, where four or five others are going to gather together. And usually it's one or two individuals that know the basic stuff. Now, here's where at Halloween time, news people now tell, the folks watching to take their cats in the house and to watch their animals during Halloween. Why? Well, a lot of cemeteries end up with, the one place had nine cats that were skinned and cut up, sacrificed literally. One place in Pennsylvania, three dogs, the satanic symbol. So there are those who will go out there and take one cat or take a rabbit or or a dog, and they will torture and ritually do things and kill it, all in the name of Satan. And usually those kind of parties will involve black metal music. Matter of fact, stronger Luciferians, I mean, from the Brotherhood, from the old ancient Brotherhood kind. Now, when they're out recruiting, that's the kind of thing they'll do. An underground rave party, or just a party where there's drugs and alcohol and music and offers of sex and so forth. And then, little by little, they will begin to, open the doors to coming to another ritual, to another ritual. But then it's going to involve more commitment, the more they're brought into. Now, there's two different ways that the kids become, dabblers on their own, in the sense that they pick up a book, they read, they want to practice it, they want to get their friend to go out and do things, they want to try things, and they want to use it against other kids, other people, or churches where their parents go to church, all kinds of stuff like that. But there's the other side, again, where they're recruited in, and behind the recruiting is more sophisticated adults. That knows, they know what they're doing. And we had one case where it was a woman that was involved as a satanic priestess. And we knew that there were a lot of kids that were going off to this place. We never got any of them to tell us, and really until it was too late. I showed up at this one house, and as I came to the door, all the glass was busted out, and I knocked on the wooden part, and a man came. He was the owner of the apartment. It's a large house turned into apartments. And I asked him about what happened there and told him who I was, gave him my card. He let me come in. And he said he just had kicked out the lady because she'd had up to 25 teenage kids living in the house. And it was constant parties and noise. Well, now that he's on the inside, he brought me on the inside. On the floor, there's a satanic pentagrams, a circle, candles, upside down crosses painted on the walls, every wall in the house. Had satanic graffiti and backwards words, backwards Latin, everywhere in the house. And the basement stairs had been ripped out because downstairs the Humane Society had to come in, and there was animal blood and more satanic symbols and candles and candle wax drippings and all that. And here she was bringing them in, having sex with them, and recruiting them into satanic, basic ritual things and practices, leading them into stuff. Well, that's bad enough when you have a 35-year-old woman doing this with 16, 15, 16, 17-year-old boys and girls. But we also have the issue of the animals. We also have the issue of sexual rituals, and rape may have been involved. But then we also have the issue of one of the young men that I had been trying to witness to, and I shared. Matter of fact, the last time on the streets that I saw him, he gave me the goat's head sign with his last, with his left arm, where the two, fingers are out, and it looks like kind of like a goat's head. He kind of flashed that at me, and really he was crying out at times, but he was also said to have gone to that home, and not too long after, all the kids dispersed from there, this young man was found in his bedroom. He took his dad's gun, and he blew his brains out. And all I know is that he had some connection to that place. Now the woman took off, kids scattered everywhere. But what about the demonic? What about that guy's home? So again, you have damage to people. You have damage, death and bloodshed to animals and torture. You have sexual, deviance going on with an older woman and younger boys and girls. All that goes on, and that's again recruiting. Those kids were becoming dabblers, learning little bits and pieces which they would share. Also, dabblers have the idea of being dropouts and loners sometimes, where there's two or three or four in a group. Let me first of all mention Billy, another story that his mother brought him to our offices. She was all terrified because he was invited, and here's the story. Billy tells me that he's invited to go down to this house. And there at this house, he's given free alcohol and smoking dope, and they're listening to black metal music, and there's a witch or a woman, whatever, named Abigail, and she came up and, kind of scratched, cut his palm, took his blood, and put it in a book with his name, and that he's to be a part of the coven, and that he's to be at certain meetings, and he was literally being pulled to come in. Now, the thing about Billy was that he really got terrified and he wouldn't go. And two of the other kids involved in the group came to his house, and in like a scroll letter with calligraphy writing, he was basically threatened. And then they came back again and took the scroll thing back from him. Well, again, his mother was terrified, and he would have been, again, just cutting into the dabbler group. And again, many times it's kids that are the loner ones and the dropout ones and the ones that other guys are picking on. And some of the girls get involved because of the partying. Now, please understand how, recruiting groups go. We'll talk about recruiting in another session in a broader, more specific way. But recruiting, drugs, alcohol, black metal music is a part of the powerful tools of recruiting young people. Now, there's another guy. I'm going to use the name Lenny. It's not his real name, but Lenny's the guy we led to Christ up in the Cleveland area. This is the young Satanist priest that was saying that he took over other covens and he's going to be the next black pope. And he had all this energy about himself and how much he was going to get. Well, bottom line, when I asked him, why did he even call us up there? He put his head down and he just said, because I have no joy. Now, here's a young dabbler kid getting in, being puffed up. He's 16 years old. We're drawn, an hour's drive away to another city to come and meet with him. Finally, when we share Jesus enough with him, he wants to accept Christ. Well, when he goes to say Jesus' name, the demon that did was in him already from his personal practices of conjuring demons and spirits, he was thrown to the ground and he couldn't even say the word Jesus. His throat was literally gripped and being squeezed. Well, we began to pray and command in the name of Jesus for the spirit to loose him, let him go, and eventually everything broke and he screamed out, Jesus, come into my life and be Lord and Savior. So, Lenny was dramatically, came to Christ. And you could see the total difference. Instead of the dark countenance and sadness and depressive spirit, now this sense of joy and he was just seemed, a tremendous release. And he knew that that thing had a hold of him, but he did come to give his life to Jesus. But again, we have a dabbler issue. Dabblers can also be, as I say on page 17, troublemakers. It's school, again, cats, they can be stealing them, going to cemeteries. Again, when you see behind schools and other places graffiti, like the circle with the A going through it, the anarchy sign, pentagram, which is like an inverted star, inverted 5 point, and the point is at the bottom. Other symbols, looks like a triangle, like a power cone. Depends on where they're getting their information, what books they're getting stuff out of, that they might be using some of the symbols, and they may learn to be a little more sophisticated step by step. But dabblers usually will even wear stuff. Dabblers might even, dabble in drinking blood, their own blood, or somebody else's. They may begin to, carry that around in a little vial around their neck, or again have satanic tattoos, they may on their arms and stuff. They're clearly going to be wearing probably the t-shirts of the groups that are more satanic oriented. The groups that'll say things like Hail Satan and things whatever. I remember again being a police chaplain, being brought into a concert, the Jar Arena in Akron University, and Pantera was going to play before, I believe that was the night before Marilyn Manson. Well, at one point, they had over 4,000 young people chanting, cursing God, GD, together, and then saying, Hail Satan, Hail Satan, Hail Satan. And they had this incredible, incredible, influence in that crowd by doing that. And I don't know if they realize, again, that they would probably bring the influence of demonic presence, if not even attachments. Well, troublemakers at local churches, they can put symbols. We've been called to so many churches where a symbol's put on the door or something's put on the inside of the, in the church building, or like in one local church, in their offering plate, they begin to get these little notes that had pentagrams and Satan's among you. They also found a girl and someone else that broke into the church and was doing a satanic ritual right at the altar. And so dabblers can get a little more serious, especially if they get into a group where they are challenged to, to really begin to do, if they have rules about, blaspheming Christ and breaking the, commandments and desecrating a church or a cemetery. Because real traditional Satanists, Church of Satanists, like the popular Satanists, Anton LaVey, old Brotherhooders and old Luciferians, they're not going to desecrate a graveyard. Pagans and Wiccans aren't. But again, rebellious young people, dabblers into Satanism, will not only do that, but they will knock over tombstones, put on symbols and signs everywhere, and maybe even cut up a cat or whatever, and cause trouble and harm in that way. Beat up on someone might be included too. Getting somebody under the influence of drugs and alcohol enough to have sex, to have sex with them. So you're going to have satanic crimes involved without question. Tom Wedge's book is one of the earlier books, anyway, on the basics of some of the cult crime things. So if you ever hear of stories, or maybe your kids at school talking about a pentagram here or this, one thing about law enforcement that I don't like is that in every time I've been in a law enforcement group, or any time I've been, in the police academy, they're always, telling them not to scare society. So play down the satanic side, the symbols, and just deal with crime and don't report the Satanism, even if it's cats and animals and things like that. Well, I don't think it's a good thing because better is to be aware of the signs and symbols and who's doing what. We had in our location in Kenmore, Ohio, that's where I was, pastoring a church, and we had just launched Shatter in the 80s in a small group form. And we had some dabblers that were knocking over tombstones and doing ritual stuff and some animals. And guess what occurs? The whole area gets afraid. Three television crews at a local grade school. I mean, we're dealing with it directly and with some of the kids and people. But then all of a sudden, these crowds of people come in. It's packed out, all the neighborhood people. And the funny thing about it, not funny, but some of the kids that were the dabblers are there too, just laughing and watching the whole crowd, all talk about the satanic scare that was going on, because so many tombstones and so many things were really, truly being damaged, and signs, symbols, and bloodied dead animals were being found. So this created an uproar and what some have called the satanic panic. But notice again, it did cause trouble. Now that the difference is, again, this is dabblers. A traditional Satanist, an Anton LaVey Church of Satan, or a Michael Aquino Church, Temple of Set, or the Ancient Brotherhood, they're not going to do that. If they go to a cemetery, in a certain time at night, they're going to use maybe an area where nobody's going to come around, maybe, where there's a floor, like almost like an altar-oriented gravestone or grave cap, and use it for demonic rituals, satanic rituals, without harm. They're going to clean up everything and take everything basically with them. And they're not going to do what dabblers do. Now, dabblers, can be recruited and educated. Dabblers can harm and do things. So let me go over some of the characteristics of dabblers. Again, as I mentioned, primarily kids. If you think in terms of the idea of satanic, Satan's rebels, but then they can cause damage. And again, they're into parties with it and everything else. Well, number one, under point two, page 17, they're not educated Satanists by no means. They may begin to buy some books, materials, pieces here and there, and begin to read, begin to practice some things, but they're not doing them right. They're not doing them precision. They don't know the ancient things. And though they might be serious themselves, they don't have the very deep, serious material to do things with. They can develop into work, you know, things being, you know, becoming worse, but these simply are not, you know, highly educated in this. They're unleashing their teenage rebellion issues through this medium. But that can be detrimental to their lives and their eternal soul, let alone bring harm. And again, dabblers can be out and truly acquire demonic attachment into their life or on their life by doing some of these ritual things. Now, when they go home then and back into their bedrooms of their house, do they carry the demon right back into the house with them? Absolutely. You know, if a kid goes into somebody else's house and they catch the flu and they bring it back into the house, is there a possibility other people be affected by the flu? If a kid has a demon comes back into the house, can that begin to bring some weird things and havoc? Sure. Characteristics of dabblers be drugs. They'll use drugs in their parties, drugs in matter of fact, they might use some certain kinds of drugs they believe might help them get to the, you know, peyote and acid and so forth, have experiences. Primarily, though, just drugs, smoking up, things like that. Drinking and alcohol is involved too, because it helps, you know, break down the inhibitions. And again, they may do something, get brave enough to, you know, cut up a cat or cut its head off or, you know, or burn it or do anything to torture it and do some kind of, and that's horrific. That's wrong. And but they may also acquire demonic stuff. Now, let me mention something here under C and D. Dungeons and Dragons. Dungeon and Dragons, the old game, the old fantasy games. And there's a number of them out otherwise. And the bigger issue now is video and media and the games and all that kind of stuff. Is there such a thing? Dabblers will be into satanic fantasy. We had one guy that even wore a cape. He had his own hood thing or whatever, and he was just really into it, considering himself a priest. These are again are you know, young people that they'll get into Dungeons and Dragons, the fantasy game, and conjure and call on the spirits and get powers and use their powers to play that game. Now, in Tom Wedge's book, The Satan Hunter, he has an entire chapter on Dungeons and Dragons, and if you do any study on it, you're going to find that there's a number of suicides, a number of very, very dark and bad influences that have come on quite a few kids. Now, I have a problem with Dungeons and Dragons because in one of their levels, they name the same demon names that are in the Satanic Bible. They're using the material. I mean, who created this game? And when you get into the world of fantasy, please understand, fantasy can is all it's about non-reality. It's a made-up world, but nevertheless, it becomes a world of a. Like it talks about in the scripture that we take every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. These can become strongholds where the enemy brings things, and if they're calling on the demon names and calling on the powers and doing stuff, they can have a kind of, like I call it, side door effect, demonic effect coming in and on their life. They're opening the doors. They're playing with things like the Ouija board. Again, they dabbler, you know, lots of kids have done this, and maybe you've done this, but I'm talking about they might do a little more serious and get a group together and really try to get demons to speak, but they don't want to stop Ouija boards. To them, even a dabbler, a Ouija board's just a, you know, a thing that overnight slumber party, some kids messing around might do. They want to go a little more serious, and that's why they may, well, they might have a satanic party, and they might tell certain kids to come. Not everybody's participating. And notice, they're not, they don't really have the ability of super secrecy. They might elude for a while, like that, one group did in the Kenmore area where I was. But again, to their own detriment too, though, and it did bring about harm and torture to animals, and I believe had deep influence that led one young man over the edge and that committed suicide. Page 18, we're going to continue on the characteristics of dabblers. They'll use satanic themes for empowerment. The ideas of, that they have abilities. They have ritual powers. They can cast a spell. They can cast a curse. They know they're beginning to learn or try to quote Enochian language, the Enochian chants from the Satanic Bible. You get a young teenage kid reading the Satanic Bible and reading the there's sex rituals and there's destruction rituals and death ritual and somewhat of a mock child sacrifice, human sacrifice concept on the inside there. They're going to use it for their own empowerment, maybe because, again, they're the kind of kids that have been picked on and things have been done to them, and that this becomes a place of power for them and empowerment for their lives. Well, let me touch on G, the use of satanic symbols for armor. I mean, putting something on their arm. They want to wear stuff to look scary to other kids. They want to wear things and have things, and they want it to be something to for other young people and others to see that it's like again a sign of their allegiance, a sign of what they're into, a sign of being a part of something and part of their own armor in relationships in school. H, the use of satanic graffiti, as we've already said. They may clearly draw pentagrams, upside down crosses, power cones. They may learn some of the other kinds of graffiti and use that. And if they're learning any, if they get a hold of some, I used to say that when I was kind of a satanic dabbler, in the context of being Buddhist, Taoist, before I ever got saved, I mean, anything that I could get my hands on that was spiritual stuff, that leaned towards the dark side. I can remember back in the 70s when we were, we had a big poster on the wall with strobe light and people were doing drugs, and it's about a demon coming up out of a hole, a fire. And I can remember being around and some of us just chanting and act, we didn't know what we were doing, but we were wanting the demon to come forward. And I remember reading little books and pieces. Now, I think if somebody would have gave me some serious stuff, I would have probably read it and moved on deeper. But I was in that martial arts system of Golden Buddha meditation and learning at the temple that there was discipline there and authority from that master that maybe kept me from going that far. But I was still, again, opening doors to spirits and ascended masters that clearly had to be shut when I got saved. Under I, they would use the use of any satanic literature. Again, they'll use what they can find. Usually, it's not the most sophisticated stuff now, but nowadays, again, in the 90s, 80s and 90s might have been different, but nowadays, young people are getting a hold of Aleister Crowley's material. And because they're seeing stuff, for example, let me just mention Slayer's album, South of Heaven. There's one song called Spill the Blood. Now, when I do the one on rock, I'll read some of the lyrics because it involves what I see as a satanic invocation. They're being called to spill the blood and to join Satan. It's like Satan calling them. So once again, we can see how dangerous that is. Dangerous that can lead them to psychopathic Satanism, ultimately to lose their soul. Don't think that Satan's not involved in granting kids. Remember what he did to Jesus? He offered Jesus all the kingdoms. So when the offer to rock groups and kids begin to hear some of the themes, kids begin to hear some of the stories, when they begin to see Marilyn Manson, as I did, just feet away from me on stage, literally leave himself, and twice, demonic presence completely took over. Even the cops came running to me and said, "Russ, Pastor Russ, did you see that?" Chaplain Russ back in that day. "And did you see that?" I said, "Yeah, I saw it. Definitely without question. 4,000 kids and the demon literally manifested. buddy I wanted to get to. I wanted to deal with him. But when he went kind of crazy at the end and broke up things, he fell to the ground and he was somewhat growling, basically. And his people literally dragged him away to the back to where I didn't have any real encounter with him. What about the use of black clothing? Yes, a lot of dabblers will use, again, they're going to wear a lot of the black metal rock groups that are into, at least into the symbols and demon faces and things like that. They're going to wear t-shirts and stuff like that and maybe some jewelry, tattoo issues, things like that will come, and even, and black clothing will be a part of that along, and that can be goth also. Goth oriented, death oriented, dark oriented, but again, opens the doorways for influence. Use of violence is clearly there because they will definitely damage things, put a satanic symbol. They'll do it to a car, they'll do it to a house, they'll do it to a church, they'll even do it to another kid. So there's violence that can be involved when they have their satanic parties and believing again that they're gaining powers and all that kind of stuff. They might do things that really cause, harm to others. The use of violence, something dabblers do. The use of satanic rituals, basically only the ones that they've actually gotten hold of, only the ones they've done. Again, I have not met any that really had serious stuff. Now, when they begin to get into the Crowleyan magic, they're going to get into more serious, more sophisticated stuff. And you got to be somebody who's going to take the time and read, and you're really going to be involved. You're also going to find that little things, just the little things. Now, when I say little, it's still, taking a cat, skinning it, cutting it, burning it, bleeding it, whatever. Or if someone older recruits them and gives them literature to read, they may learn to do other rituals also. Let me mention under M, page 18, that the use of games, as we mentioned, Dungeons and Dragons and others like them, also playing games with mind games and machines. When I say machines, I'm referring to a lot of the games on the computers that now can be put on TV. Look how many of the games involve satanic themes and demons and powers. Look how many involves extreme violence. And you can find on the computer video games, TV ones, and so forth. So something you got to really watch nowadays with the influence of the children, and to influence them in a supernaturally negative or wrong way or alternative way opens them to some very dangerous things and gives them curiosities. Under N, broken families and hearts, they do many times dabblers come from broken families where there's not enough oversight of their lives, and they're out able to go places and do things without being found out. And they have a lot of time on their hands. And their own hearts, many of the dabbler kids that I've dealt with, they got broken hearts. I've sat with some that have cried before. There they are with their pentagram on, everything else. And, in some ways they wish they just had a real dad and a real mom and a real family. And someone that really, did care enough to even discipline them and love them. But they, where there's broken families and broken hearts, that becomes if nobody else gets them, Satan doesn't mind grabbing a hold of them and using them. There's sometimes revenge oriented in a lot. Well, you know what? In all the satanic groups, I see this, the idea that they never forget and there is revenge played out. And when I say revenge too, is when kids have been picked on and things have been done to them, and they really do become satanic dabblers to, where they're trying to find powers and so forth, that they may use, curses, satanic rituals as ways of revenge against adults, school teachers, anybody in authority that's, brought any kind of harm to them, if not other kids also. Now, let me mention this on the bottom of page 18. Just says wow man and the search for experiences. The wow man, talk of young drug, druggies, kids that are into, just smoking a lot of dope and things like that. Just, they're out just hanging out and, well, again, the drugs have a tie-in with opening doors to satanic demonic presence. From the Greek word pharmakios in the book of Revelation, where it talks about in the end days that the people would not turn away from their sorceries. And so we find out that magic, real satanic, powerful magic, has connection with drugs. No question that Aleister Crowley knew this well. Sad thing is, I'm reading some new age oriented, but yet druggish oriented, what they would consider themselves intellectuals. And they're writing about 2012 and the Mayan prophecies and spirituality and spirits coming to them and doing certain drugs to awaken them to the voices of spirits. They're doing what Aleister Crowley did in the use of drugs to open them up. So that's why I think I'm going to do a 1 hour segment either here or separately on DMT, the use of drugs that really open up the spirit to the spirit realm, but again, to the demonic spirit realm. And this is where the demonic can show things, influence, speak, and do a number of things. That'll be for another one, though. On the next page, page 19, the last page here, Noah. Usually, dabblers have no purpose but great potential. They have so much time on their hand, and they've had it for so long, they're just out creating ruckus and doing stuff and planning things and reading a little bit here and there and listening to their metal music and partying and hailing Satan and doing all kinds of stuff. And so there's no real purpose in their life, but you know what? There's a lot of potential. A lot of potentials of what their lives could be. And that's why, we would cry out to young people to become a youth evangelist. We've got to be out there. There's one little area in the UK, in England, where up to 17 suicides have occurred. And I know PID Radio with Derek and Sharon had me come on and we discussed some of that. And it's really bothered me. And I've really poured out prayer for that area. And we did a special 1 hour podcast on the suicides there. And I don't know myself. I mean, looking at some of the pictures of the kids and so forth, I have no idea what plays the backdrop to that. But I do always know that suicide, they're not, there's that's where darkness and the dark presence and feeds on the fears and depressions of young people and can push things over the edge. So when we talk about potential, there's so many young people that have so much potential, so many things that God wants to do in their life. I am so glad. Let me tell you a story about a group of young people where, they're just fired up for Jesus and they're serving the Lord, and some of them went on a missions trip during the summer, and they literally went clear to India with a team of experienced missionaries. One day, the girl, I watched the testimony. I was just blown away by the testimony. The girl was telling about how they all gathered around this man and began to witness to him and talk to him, but it looked like nothing fazed him. And she began to realize, because he was a certain Hindu caste and would have been involved in high, spirit, have his own deep spirituality and whatever. But when they began to, this girl began to recognize, hey, something's really, his eyes are glassed over. She recognized it must be demonic, really over him, covering him. So she began to rebuke demonic presence of power. She said, as they began to pray that way, he began to sweat his head. And then all of a sudden, everything broke. He began to listen to them and hear the gospel. And this high up man knelt down and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I've watched young people who've gotten saved. I remember one time where a number of young people got saved and they're getting trained up. We gave an invitation to Youth for Christ meeting and 11 kids raised their hands. I had teenage kids who were saved help lead their friends in prayer for them to receive Christ. And so I've seen kids on fire. I've seen kids get in Christian worship bands. I've seen kids get gospel tracts. The potential. the potential for youth pastors and youth leaders and youth evangelists and so forth is there to reach out. And every dabbler who's into something, if their time could be, if somebody gave them the time of day and the interest and the love and the care and guided them in the right way. I just have never met a happy Satanist, young kid. Never met a happy dabbler Satanist, none of them. And they're usually, either angry and violent or causing trouble or depressed or not going to, school and broken homes and broken relationships and depressed and angry and all that kind of stuff. And they need to find truth. Now, the next thing I have on under R, page 19, is that dabblers can become self-styled and even psycho-Satanists. If they begin to open the doors when they're 13, 14, 15, 16, and nothing happens as far as intervention, it's possible they can begin to develop broader and read more material and begin to form a larger group and find out that they can get benefits, sex, drugs, money. Or if they're a loner and angry and mad, that they can begin to do some things to really create havoc and harm. And that might be true of Tommy Sullivan and others that have done great, harm. Do they grow out of it? Well, a lot of them do kind of grow out of it and away from it. As they get out of high school, they go into, working or maybe even to a college or whatever, but many of them wouldn't even want to go to college. Some go into the Army, and they find out, the U.S. Army, we'll do, again, deal with this again in another segment, but, not Anton LaVey, but Michael Aquino, who was the founder of the Temple of Set, out of U.S. military, retired at one point, lieutenant colonel, boasted that they had a satanic grotto on every military base around the world, which means at least 13 people committed to, a satanic practice. And a lot of that could be carried over as, the story goes in the Mike Warnke case anyway, other young folks carrying it into the military for their separate and private practice. Now, the bottom line on the bottom of the page of 19 is just simply, again, how do you reach them? How do you go after them? And I'm going to say again, just strongly and boldly, while they are young, get them while they're young. Reach out to them. Be involved in children's ministry and teenage ministry and love kids and reach them and set up coffee houses and set up programs and pastors, and churches. Really invest. I went with my daughter a Sunday morning to a church she likes to go to, and it's packed with young people, a lot of young people there. And it's so exciting. So many of those young people have been on mission trips. And where we went to the week before as a family to church, there's a lot of young people there also. And both places put a high emphasis on young people. And not just, again, just to have them and collect them for a social meeting or a dance. They have outreach. They're trying to reach kids for Christ. And I know of another place here locally where my daughter goes where up to 200 young people gather together, and they'll worship for 1 hour, and they'll have prayer, and they'll pray for each other, and they've invited me to come over and preach to them. And I've got to go over and preach twice and speak in a panel, answer, they were to answer any, they were to ask any question they wanted to. It's a really neat night. They had big screens up, and the kids literally could text a message in to the guy that was taking them in, and then he would take the text and put up on the large screen for everybody to be able to see. And then we, the pastors up there, three of us, we had to answer them. And we had a great time with the kids doing that. And it's just great to see them. Please understand how they can love Jesus. And I'm watching my daughter right now every day in the Word. She just graduated from high school, and she's doing a 30-day thing where she's just really seeking the Lord and every day in the Scriptures, and she witnesses and so there's the other side of the story is when they find out who loves them, where they can go to unleash their pain and hurt to Jesus. Jesus could be everything to them that he is to you. So let's get them while they're young. Let's also get them as you see them. when they're alone in places and so forth. You know, talking to them, caring about them, acknowledging them, and not seeing them as trouble and problems, but caring about them, listening to them. You know, really listening to their troubles, caring for them, loving them. Well, C is with the power of Jesus, the power of the gospel, the power of Christ. God loves them. And if you love them and just really care about them and let them know how much they are loved and wanted, and let the word, the truth get to them, and let, you know, buy them their own little Bible and something you write into it to them that means something to them. Another thing is, if you're somebody listening because you want to target, and maybe by the providence of God, you've gotten this a year later after it's done somehow. And all I would say even now would be this, is could it be that God is really calling you and burdening you to reach out to a lot of young people who are involved in, you know, I mean, they're goth-oriented, they're into Wicca, some of them Satan, you know, they're into the dark stuff, and they're lost. And they need to be reached. Will you reach them? Now listen, I know one thing. If you'll target them, you know how Shatter the Darkness got started? My goodness now. Almost, I guess around 24 years ago, when we began to notice, you know, kids dabbling into Satanism in every school that our Ministry of Youth for Christ was in. I formed a group called Shatter the Darkness. And our group, our team, our volunteers was to focus on kids that were getting into Satanism and go get them, find them, share Jesus with them, listen to them, hear their stories. And that led not only to witness to them and encountering and helping them and dealing with them through so many things, intervention evangelism. It also involved us finding out that older people were involved in recruiting some of these young people. And then it involved that there's bigger groups out there. And that's when we got involved then with satanic ritual abuse. And from that time, almost 25 years ago, when we cared about kids, 25 years later, we've ministered to thousands of people, led many people to Jesus, have done hundreds of deliverance exorcisms, and you being a part of this course to this day is part of that beginning. And you know what? To this very day, guess what? Targeting young people like that is still a part of what I do. And I literally everybody should, you know, we need to reach everybody with the gospel. That's what we're told. But we had a special emphasis. You've heard of Jews for Jesus, where people are just reaching out specifically to Jews, or Cops for Christ, or Youth for Christ, College Students for Christ, Moms for Christ. Well, this is simply just, you know, Shatter the Darkness is all those millions of New Agers. We're taking Christ to them, taking Christ to the pagan, the Wiccan, the Druid, the one in Santeria, the one in mystical occultism, and 2012 prophecy, Mayan prophecy stuff, Satanists, Luciferians, globalists that are Luciferian, all that. So, and guess what? In 25 years, the ramping up of the dark side has been observable in the amount of the numbers, the sheer numbers of people, let alone the sheer depth of deeper, darker powers, and the rise of the satanic superpower. You know, soldiers and all that. So we're getting closer and closer. And everything in the scripture tells us it will only get darker. And that just simply means that our light will definitely shine all the more. And hopefully that's what we're all about. Well, in this last few moments, invite and engage them. Invite them to Christian concerts and things and places. My daughter just invited a whole bunch of students from her high school to come to a bonfire here on our land, the same night as the weekend of the graduation and her graduation day. She invited a bunch of students over. And then from the church service thing that she goes to, where all these 200 young people, she invited a bunch of them over. And so the kids that are on fire for Christ came and met some of these other kids around the bonfire right here in our backyard just a couple nights ago. And so you have the kids that knew Jesus begin to invite the other kids to come next week to the youth meeting. And guess what? It's just that's part of the outreach. And so there's, invite them, engage them, and go after them, and let them know. The other thing would be spending time with them. And the last thing here, since we're already at an hour's time, let me just tell you just quickly. There's a young fellow that I know, not a young fellow, he was back then. But back then, he was one of the kids we also targeted. And as we targeted him, we literally, worked with him and a bunch of street kids and got them off the street and brought them in. And most of them were like little dabblers in some way. Well, bottom line now, many years later, he came. He's a pastor. He preaches the word of God. He's been through so many things. But he also knows what he's dabbled into, what he's part of, what he was a dabbler. And now he's a pastor, and he's a great friend. Well, we mentioned the fastest growing subgroup in the 90s, millions of young white boys. Well, where are we now? A 10, 12 years later now, where are all those kids now? Millions, if they open the doors. Even if they gave up their dabbling, did the demons give up on them? No. What about now, white middle-class girls in Wicca? So again, I want to call you to the great message of Christ when Jesus told us to go to the highways, to the byways, and compel them to come in. You gotta give them time, well, let me leave you with a great verse comes to my mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor or your spiritual fire serving the Lord. Reach out, reach them while they're young, and share the incredible, unequaled message, unparalleled love of Jesus Christ, the power of God. And as I've had to do with a number of teenage kids, including a girl that had demons speak through her mouth, including a young boy that the demon threw him to the ground and choked his throat so that he couldn't cry out Jesus. Who else is going to do that? Jesus gave the church the Great Commission, the power of the Holy Spirit, the love of God to go reach the world. He also gave us the authority to trample. Only the church, only believers have that authority. And it's the only way to trample them and kick them out. So let me encourage you to do that. And let me encourage you to stay prayed up. And may God lead you this week. May He make you sensitive by the Holy Spirit. May He supernaturally lead you to see young dabblers, reach out to them, lead them to Christ. Where there's any demonic stuff, go ahead. Take authority of Jesus that you've been given and command and the demonic out, leading young folks to Jesus, loving them, and you'll see the incredible work that Jesus will be doing in your life and theirs. Hey, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Sunday night's the live program. You can still call in or write emails ahead of time. Let me know how you're doing. If you need something, the Lord's blessing be with you.